Welcome to the Gym Lords Podcast, where we talk to real gym owners and share their stories, their trials, and what's working for them right now. To apply to be a guest on this podcast, click the link in the description. Hope you enjoy and subscribe.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast. I'll be your host today. My name is Emily, and joining us on the show is Sunny and Lawrence out of Sunny and Lawrence in Maryland. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for asking. So very excited to have you guys on the show today. But before we dive into the nitty gritty of what you guys have going on, tell us a little bit about how you describe your business to people and what made you want to start your gym in the first place.
So Sunny and I are each personal trainers, and we have been for many years, worked at different gyms, worked at different independent studios, taught classes, and ended up in the same space, growing our own businesses, paying rent to a landlord, not holding a lease. And independently, we were each able to really grow our own businesses, save a lot of money doing it that way, and always had the vision of wanting to open our own studio one day. And after some time searching for the right place and having it, honestly, we searched for almost a year, and then it randomly fell into our hands, as life usually does. And so we opened our own space together, and now we are a house for trainers to hopefully allow them to come in, grow their own business, grow their own brand, and maybe one day do what we were able to do.
Yeah.
Do you think add to that? Thank you. Got it all.
Okay. So individually, can you just 60 seconds or less, give us a brief story about how you guys got into the fitness industry? Because I know collectively, like, y'all have a lot of experience.
Yeah.
Sure. You want to go first?
Sure. So I actually got into the fitness industry by fate, I would say. I got in a car accident in college, and I broke my back. It was a near-death car accident. And I was in school for business management. I wanted to own my own business one day. I did not think it would be a gym. I didn't really work out at the time, but coming out of the car accident, I had to do some PT, and I really was like, I'm going to have to get strong, or I'm going to have a back injury the rest of my life. So I hired a trainer. I fell in love with strength training. I ended up getting a cycle certification and then a personal training certification. And then the job I was working that I thought I would take over ended up closing. And I was like, all right, this is my chance. Like, let's go for it. So I started working at a gym, teaching a million classes to make ends meet. And I just knew I wanted to share what I had found with strength and conditioning with the rest of the world. And so it kind of grew out of passion and just the drive to really make an impact on other people the way strength and conditioning had made an impact on me.
All right. So for me, I kind of always wanted to do something with health and wellness. When I started college, my degree was dietetics because I thought I wanted to be a dietitian. And I eventually wanted to open up my own space to help people with their health and fitness because I wanted to help people get healthier. My dietetics degree did not work out too well for me because I couldn't get through biochemistry. So I changed paths to community and behavioral health. And meanwhile, all through college, as soon as I started college, I also got my training certification because I wanted to learn kind of the ins and outs of gyms. I wanted to work at different gyms to see how they operate, to kind of experience different aspects of it because I knew I always wanted to open one. And I wanted to kind of learn the basics as much as I could and just experience different environments to see what appealed to me the most. And after training for probably about 10 years, I graduated my community and behavioral health degree. And I was working at a big gym, and I met Lauren, and we kind of had similar goals, but she's really the one that kind of pushed me to leave the gym and went to an independent studio that was doing kind of similar to what we're doing. And then that's where we linked up and were able to kind of put our forces together and create this space for trainers.
Yeah. So where did the passion come from to, you're helping people also, but with the direction, it seems like you guys are more wanting to help like trainers in the space. Like, where did that passion come from or idea?
So for me, when I was working at gyms, I felt like I was working so many hours, and depending on what gym you're at, they take commission. So you get anywhere from 40 to 60% is kind of the average commission. And so you can move up levels. They have different like levels of trainers, like beginner, intermediate, advanced trainers that have more experience, less experience. But regardless of what level you're working, regardless of where you are in what position you're in, the gym takes a big chunk of your paycheck. And so I was working all these hours and like the gym was taking a huge chunk of it. That was one. And then two, there was some classes that I wanted to offer that the gym wouldn't allow me to offer because there was some competing, that I can't really say competing because they weren't doing the same thing, but there was already group classes there. And they said that if I offered a paid class, it would not be, they just didn't allow it. They were like, we can't have other classes because there's other classes going on here and you can't have a competing one. And so it was a little frustrating because there were certain things that I wanted to do. And there were some clients that couldn't afford personal training that wanted to work with me, that wanted a group session. So I wanted to create a big group and I just, they weren't allowing it. And I had this image in my mind that I would like to have a space that if a trainer wanted to grow their business a certain way, they could do it. And I would hear other trainers complaining about wanting to do certain things that would kind of get shut down and they'd want to market different ways, or they would want to train outside the gym, but there's a lot of non-compete restrictions. And I wanted to create an environment that other trainers didn't have that struggle if they wanted to run their own business and have their own brand and had a vision for that, that they would be able to do it.
I think that's cool.
Yeah. I'd probably say the same thing. I mean, I never worked in a gym the way she did. I never had to deal with that. Like I was lucky enough that I worked at independent studios. I taught a lot of group classes, which was how we kind of differed, is I taught a lot of personalized group classes, but a more group setting. And I think my drive was always the freedom to own my own business. Like I never ended up working at a commercial gym, but I think having that freedom really allowed us to get to where we are. And I wanted to have other trainers realize like we're a valuable part of health and fitness. We're a valuable part of health overall, community health. And I think because it is so hard to make it as a trainer, the career gets kind of pushed to the side. And so you don't find a lot of very, very good trainers. And I think they're really a valuable part of society. And so helping them be able to make it and share their gift and really impact lives the way we have the potential to do, and not get burnout and quit. Cause there are so many that are like, I just can't make it. I need a job with benefits. I need, you know, someone else to pay, like pull my taxes out. Like I can't do all this on my own. And like that talent goes to waste. So we're trying to create an environment where they don't have to waste that talent, where they can really thrive in the career.
Yeah. So I think that a big part of, you know, having that talent, like you have to have people to help, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have any clients, you're not gonna be able to help people, and you won't be making any money. And that's a lot of times I see people going back to work at a big box gym. So I guess let's go ahead and talk about marketing. Mm-hmm. So from a marketing standpoint, like what has been working, well, what worked well for you guys to get your clientele?
So we have different backgrounds, obviously. I mean, Sunny worked in a gym, so everybody walking in that gym is a potential client. I didn't necessarily have that because I never worked in a space like that. I always kind of worked in a studio where everybody was coming in for like an either prepaid group class or, you know, it wasn't really people work. So I had to do, I never wanted to pay for marketing. So I got paid to market instead. I would go work at places where I could be seen by a lot of people that were already interested in health and fitness. I worked at Orange Theory. I trained at a corporate location at their fitness center. And I ended up just trying to put my face in front of as many people as I could who I already knew were there for health and fitness purposes, who I knew were people that were in the market for that service. And I think for me, it was more of just like, I'm truly passionate about health and fitness. I'm truly passionate about sharing, about changing lives through it and about how it's changed mine. And I think people see that, like, it's kind of like a no BS attitude about it. It's not like, it's never been about money for me. And so that kind of draws people to you naturally. And then from there, like, I struggled for a very long time. Don't get me wrong. Like, it's taken, I started this career in 2015. It's taken till now to get to a point where I'm like, wow, I have a full book. But from there, honestly, it's been referrals. Like, once we opened the gym and I wasn't in front of any other faces, it's all been referrals. It's been, I mean, we have a website and we do get some website attraction, but honestly, we're horrible at social media. It's not even that. Like, every day we're like, we really need to get better at this. And we just, it's just word of mouth is where we're at right now, at least for me. I mean, you had a different experience being in a gym setting. So you can talk about that.
I mean, in the gym, it was a little bit different because when I was at a big box gym, it was a little bit different because people would just walk in the door and you get hundreds of people that you can call every day and walk up to every day, et cetera. But here it's not that. We don't have hundreds of people walking in the door every day that you can market to. Before COVID, I was involved in a lot of community events. So like if there was races in the area, I would go set up a booth there and try to get a booth at the table. And we were connecting with other companies that kind of shared similar space in health and wellness, but we're not fitness. So there was like energy drinks or electrolyte drinks that we would partner with and we'd go represent their brand there. But I'd also be there as a trainer. So I would hand out samples to people running races and talk to them as a trainer, tell them about our space or what we were doing. But since COVID happened, all that stuff, I kind of got dropped because a lot of those events stopped happening. But now that things are open again and kind of back to normal or pretty close to normal, planning on getting back into that this year and getting a little bit more involved into the community just to keep our name out there and let people know that we're here to help if they do need help or want help. But okay. Again, same thing, it's more word of mouth, a lot of referrals for how we get our clients. And we've been very blessed with a lot of clients that want to help us and want to see us succeed and want to see us thrive. And they send referrals to us and it's been amazing.
Yeah. So you mentioned social media. Is that something that you guys are thinking about doing more of or doing more research on?
Thinking about, it's battle. Constantly. We're like, all right, we're going to get back on this. We'll have like a streak of like 6 weeks. And then we just I have a very great appreciation for everybody who's on their social media game because it is hard. Like you got to really, I understand why people hire people because you really have to sit down with a strategy and be like, this is this plan. Like today we're doing this, tomorrow we're doing this, then we're going to do this. And you know, we go in cycles with it. I mean, just to like keep information out there, we don't do it as much for marketing per se, although marketing comes out of it, but we'll be like, let's do a series on helping people with learning how to deadlift. Let's do a series on like different nutrition tips. And so we'll start a series. I don't even know that we end up like closing it, you know, and then we get busy and like our schedules don't link up or, you know, it takes a moment to think through and we need to be better. We could be better. Yes. Yes is the answer. Yes, we need to do more of that. But that has not been our focus, no.
Thank you for sharing. So, okay, once you got people in the door, then you got to start thinking about like, okay, they're here. Now I want them to stay for as long as possible. So do you guys have an idea of like how long does your average client stay and what works, what's been working?
We can both answer this. It's probably pretty similar, but for me, so health and fitness is a lifestyle. There's not really an end date. So when people walk in the door, and they say, hey, I need to lose 10 pounds before my wedding. Like there's crash diets, there's quick fixes, there's kill yourself, you know, with this metabolic workout over and over and over again, but really that's not sustainable. So for me, I'm like, okay, we can get you to that goal for your wedding, but just understand like there are periods here and like, you're going to have to like, if you want this weight to remain off once you get in that wedding dress, if you want to do this in a healthy way, like, here's the approach we're going to take. So for me, like, I have clients that I have trained for as long as I've been a trainer. you know, it's not, if they can afford to put it into their lifestyle, it's not really something that leaves. Like, you, there's no end, like there's no end to it. And I think that's what people have a hard time with in health and fitness, is they're like, oh, if I can just lose these 10 pounds, I won't have to worry about it. Or if I can just get into this dress, I don't have to worry about it. But like, it doesn't, that's not the reality of it. It's not like a manicure. You can't just go and have that instant, like, oh, my nails look great. Like, you don't leave here losing 10 pounds after one session. So you kind of have to create that awareness with them. Like, this is going to be an ongoing process. And if one day you want to leave me, I need to equip you with the tools to be able to continue to do this on your own. So, you know, a lot of people will start with maybe 3 days a week, and then maybe we can back down to one day a week because they're capable of doing it on their own at that point. And I can kind of guide them with homework or home routines. Or even some of my clients will be like, I did this workout today, and I read it and I'm like, wow, you really put that together, like, well, you know. So for me, it's kind of creating that understanding that this, there isn't an end date here. Like, we don't have a contract where you're going to train me for 30 days. You're going to look amazing. You're going to walk out of here. You never got to see me again. Like, maybe in 30 days, you can learn how to do this on your own, if like, this isn't a long-term plan for you financially. But, you know, it's creating that education with them that like, this is a lifetime kind of thing. Like, this isn't just for the next 6 weeks. I don't know what.
I definitely agree with everything you just said. I have clients that have been with me for, I don't want to say all of my training career, but most of my training career. And typically when clients start with me, and I think both Lauren, they generally stay with us unless they're moving away or something comes up that they have to stop training because they have a surgery or for whatever reason they have to discontinue. But generally speaking, most of our clients stay with us for the long haul. And I think a lot of that is because they see the value and they see the benefit in the private sessions, because when they come to work out with us, they might have a goal initially. And then they start to say, oh, like, there's a lot more to this than just like what I wanted to do. Like, I didn't realize I need to work on these things and like how much better I feel. And they realize there's so much more to fitness that they didn't know. So they value the education they're getting from what we have to offer. And aside from that, a lot of times people's goals adapt. So like, you might have a client that you're working with that wants to run a marathon and is training for a marathon and is strength training with you, and then stops doing that and then wants to train for a hike in Machu Picchu, or wants to train for something different, or is it in a different stage of their life. And so their goals change and they realize that their training plans need to change. And so it's like an ongoing relationship where, like she said, like, we'll have clients that sometimes will be 3 times a week with us starting out, and then maybe they'll back down to once a week or once every other week because they know kind of, they're more comfortable with the exercises. They know what they're doing. They just want us to essentially help them progress their programs and then modify their programs based on adapting to their new goals or various goals or where they are. And different stressors happen. People get pregnant. They don't know how to work out when they're pregnant. There's a lot of different ways that their lives change that they see the value in having that ongoing relationship. So it really doesn't end. And our clients kind of are like family. Like, it, they treat us like family. We treat them like family. Like, it's very, I don't know. I don't think there's another industry where you have this. Yeah, it's a very unique type of relationship.
Yeah, like, they don't go away. People say like, I don't have children. And I'm like, no, I have like 40 children. Like, they're all my clients. Like, I don't need children. Yeah. Not to say that they act like children, but you know, you're just constantly like there for people, and they're there for us too. You know, like, my clients have gotten me through just as much as I've gotten them through. So it's honestly like, the career is a blessing. It's amazing.
Yeah. So where long-term, what is the goal for Sunny and Lawrence? Like, next year, which is crazy to say, it's going to be 2024. How do you want to see things progress and develop over the next 365 days?
So it's hard because we absolutely love training. We love training clients. We love that one-on-one interaction. But in order to be business people and grow our business, we do have to step away from that. So in talking, like, our goal is really as much as we love training and helping clients, we do want to leave the industry better than we found it. So training and helping trainers would be that next step, and having people kind of like step up and be able to do what we've done for people and what we've done for the industry. So we're kind of at a point in our career where we're looking at maybe backing down our training hours and working on development for trainers. So say you come out of, we'll just use NASM, that's the certification I have. I did not have a college background in this field, and a lot of trainers don't, and they get their personal training certificate and there's a lot more to learn. So we would like to build a program that really helps trainers coming out of the training certificate learn how to A, market, B, apply what they've learned, and C, grow and thrive in the career, not to the point where they're like beaten to the ground every night when they get home, and, you know, be able to still have a personal life. So I think the direction now would be to kind of back down our training hours and amp up our training program and really start marketing that to trainers and get them in our doors and just kind of maybe even open a second location where, you know, because eventually we would love to run out of space. So, you know, if we can get trainers in here, get them really growing, building a market, building their own brands, and really loving the fitness industry as much as we do. That's where I see it. I think we both do, but
I think you covered pretty much everything. Yeah.
All right, y'all. Well, it's almost time to wrap up here, but before we sign out, question for each of y'all. It's the same question. Knowing what you know now, because both of you guys have been in the industry for a very long time, give yourself a piece of advice that you wish you would have had 10 years ago, that you wish you needed, that you knew you needed. Does that make sense? That was like a lot.
Yeah.
You go first.
Piece of advice that I wish I would have had 10 years ago. Okay, I think the biggest thing for myself, and I've seen for a lot of other trainers when they're first starting, it's a lot of work. You think that you start in this industry and people come flocking and just want to start training and working out because that's what you want to do. But it's not like that. And it takes every 20 people you talk to,
like you might get
two of them might like call you back. And then one of them might end up becoming a client. It takes a lot of time getting the business started. Like it took me probably 5 or 6 years to get myself to a point where I had a full-time book of clients. And then, I mean, I've been able to maintain it and I've been very blessed with that, but it takes a long time to get the business started and get yourself to a position where you're able to have a solid base of clients to where you're not scrambling for how do I build this business? What do? Do I need a second? I mean, I was working a second job because I couldn't afford to pay for everything with my one job as a trainer because I didn't have enough clients. And so when you're first starting out, it's tough. It's not easy. It's a lot of hours. That's the one thing I would say is be willing to work a lot of hours to get yourself started.
Yeah. For me, I think I have a few. I think for one, it would be you're not in this for the money. Like you are if you are not passionate about helping people, this is not the place to go. The advice I think I would give myself, try to balance your personal life a little bit better because I don't have more. It is a lot of hours. So just think about like your schedule early on. I mean, when you first start this career, you're willing to wake up and train a client at 5 a.m. God love me, I still am. And you're willing to stay till 8 p.m. And then you might get 6 hours sleep. So like, I think my advice to myself would be like, don't let your own health get put to the back burner, helping the health of other people. Like really, you have to really take care of yourself. This is where a few come in, like, don't do it for the money, take care of your own health. You know, don't let that go. I was thinking of one more. Now I can't think of what it was, but, you know, it was training other people is not like training yourself. So if you were to get into this industry because you love training, you'll find that training other people is not the same. Like, people don't want to train like you necessarily. They don't need to train like you necessarily. And you need to be able to adapt the program to match their needs. So while I got into this industry being like, everyone's going to do what I do, like, that is not how it goes at all. You know, you have to be able to see, this person does not love health and fitness. They're not here because they're excited about it. They're here because they feel like they have to be. And like, you have to kind of create that excitement for them and, you know, really bring that energy and that passion so that they don't dread every minute of that hour. So, you know, just doing it for more than just health and fitness is cool. And, you know, I want other people to do what I do. You know, you really have to, there's a lot more to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I 100% agree with you on that. Very good point. ladies, this is a really good place for us to wrap things up on this episode. But before we sign out, please tell our listeners where they can find you.
We are at www.sunnyandlawrence.com. Our really active social media, you can bother us there and tell us to post more, is at Sunny and Lawrence. And we also have a Facebook, Sunny and Lawrence.
All righty. Well, thank y'all so much. We really appreciate your time and contribution to the podcast, and definitely looking forward to seeing what you guys are going to be able to accomplish down the road. So
thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, to everybody who tuned in today, thank you as well. Don't forget, if you want to be notified about future episodes, hit the like and subscribe button. And if you're interested in joining us to talk about your business model within the fitness industry, click the link in the description, fill it out, and our team will be in touch with you soon. And as always, until next time, Gym Lords out.
Thank you for listening to this interview, but don't go anywhere. We still have two more incredible interviews coming right up inside this episode. But if you're a gym owner that's looking to get more clients, keep them longer, and make more money, head to the link in the description of this podcast and schedule a free, leave your credit card at home consultation with one of our business consultants. You see, here at Gym Launch, we've helped over 4,000 gym owners across the world increase their sales, take home more money, and build the business of their dreams. And it simply starts with a phone call. Click on the link in the description of this podcast to schedule your call today. Now, let's head into the next interview.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords podcast. I am your host. My name is Joe Fitzgerald. Joining us on the show today, we have Mr. Corey Schroeder of Temple Fitness joining us from Crestview, Florida. Corey, how are you today, sir? What's going on?
I'm doing great. Thank you. I appreciate it. How are you?
I am doing very, very well. I'm excited to get into this. Temple, by my understanding, has had a number of evolutions over its lifespan. I don't want to paint on your canvas, though. So for the people who aren't familiar here, Corey, with Temple Fitness, give us a little bit of a background. How do you describe what this gym and this business is in your own words?
Our gym's a 24/7 gym model, so our members do have 24/7 access. But I was your typical kid who started working out when I was 13 years old and said, one day I'm going to own a gym. I'm going to have my dog there with me every day. I'm going to live in the gym. And joined the Marine Corps right out of high school, and 12 years later, had an opportunity to purchase some gym equipment of a gym that shut down. And my wife and I looked at each other and said, hey, do you want to start a gym? And it kind of took off from there. We started very small, in a very 3,000 square foot building that we were renting for about 5 years, but we had a 5-year goal of buying our first building. And when that time came, we were able to buy our first building. Quite wasn't the size that we really ever wanted to eventually be in. But we rocked it there for a couple of years. We expanded that building by adding some more construction onto it. And then we had a goal of about a 12,000 square foot building for the size that we wanted to be. And got an opportunity to purchase a former Sears building that was exactly 12,000 square feet. And we bought that in November of 2019 and have been in there since.
So, yeah, many different iterations of this along the way. And more than a decade later, we're still in the business and operating as a gym.
Yes, sir.
Talk to me about that time here for a minute, Corey, because most gyms in our industry don't last that long. So look back and just talk about for a minute, what was your favorite part about being a business owner so far? And what's been the hardest part? What's been the biggest challenge for you so far?
The favorite part, I guess, is, you know, being a business owner of a business that's your passion. Like I said, I started when I was very young working out. I'm an 80s baby. So I grew up during like the Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Sylvester Stallone, Hulk Hogan days. So I was that typical kid that wanted to work out and get big. So owning a business now, that's my passion. It's a win-win on that end. That's been the exciting part of it. The hard part of it, I guess, is just understanding as you evolve that there's so much more to the business side of it than just owning a place for myself to work out with my buddies, and learning how you have to treat people in order for it to be a business versus, again, being a place for your buddies. If you want it to truly grow to where we're at today, purchasing multiple buildings, it's still not quite where we want to be, but growing it into a business that actually produces more than just a place to hang out and work out. So,
yeah. And so it certainly has produced it, right? We're still around. We've gone through the ups and downs over those years. Flip that on its head now. Everybody that's spent time in this space knows that it's not always sunshine and rainbows.
Not at all.
What's been the hard part, either for you as a business owner or the hardest part for the business itself?
We've been very blessed. We really have. We've constantly had growth in our membership. We had another record-breaking year last year. We're already on path. We're already ahead of where we were this time last year, even. But a hard part is just constantly wanting to evolve. And not, it's a problem I see with a lot of gyms is you put a bunch of equipment in a room and they don't do anything different. So it just becomes the same space that everybody goes to every day and they don't see anything different. I like to always be evolving, like to grow, provide more for my members. So constantly trying to stay ahead of that. Is one of the things that I struggle a lot with, especially now with just trying to get stuff. And to give you an example, I purchased a lot of Arsenal Strength equipment. And when I first started buying Arsenal Strength equipment, 6, 8, maybe 10 weeks at most. Now we're looking at 25 to 30 weeks. And that's just for their brand. And I have some Life Fitness stuff on order. When I ordered it months ago, they told me at earliest 14 weeks. So being the impatient person that I am that wants to constantly give more to my members, I'm buying something, but I'm not seeing it for months or having to wait. I'm just, like I said, I'm an impatient person sometimes. So.
Yeah. It I think is the nature of our industry. Everybody that's in fitness, even with just working out, we want to see the results of the workout right away. We want to see the effort in our business to pan out right away. And things just don't function that way.
No.
It is.
I just said it that way. Actually, that's something I need to tell myself, that even like when it comes to working out, you're not going to see results overnight.
No. If only.
Yes.
If only. Yeah. Now, you mentioned growth year over year over year, and so many people listen to this podcast almost exclusively for new or different ideas of how to find prospective members. What's been worthwhile for you guys to bring in new members over the years, and what would you not recommend people do?
There's always tell people, there's 9 different ways you can skin a cat. So what has worked for me might not work for others, but what we have done has worked. So a couple of things, my wife and I run our business, we work it, we grind. We've actually just hired our first employee in January of this year. We've done it for 13 years on our own, because the way I looked at it is I also have another career. So my other career takes care of us at home financially. So the more we grind our business, I can put that money back into the gym and constantly grow it and get back more to my members. It just got to the point now. We also had our son who turned 18 this past year and went off to college. So he played a big part in helping us grow our gym as well. So when he left, we had to fill that gap. So we hired our first employee to help us. So that's been a success to us, is keep money back in the gym, keep it growing, keep providing more for our members, and people using social media to kind of promote that. Hey guys, I just ordered this piece of equipment. Hey guys, we got this new thing. Hey guys, we just bought this building. More and more people seeing that are like, man, we need to go join the temple, because they're actually giving us more stuff on a regular basis versus this gym that we're in now. They've had the same equipment for years and haven't bought anything new, haven't changed anything, haven't evolved. So
people can tell. Anybody that's been in multiple gyms, people notice that kind of stuff. And I think it's an important point that you bring up, that before we get into any kind of marketing conversation, we need to have something worth marketing, right? You guys, any extra dollars that have been around have been reinvested into equipment, into the facility itself, into now staffing. Running a gym isn't cheap. Running a gym well is even more expensive, I should say. And so you guys really, really doubled down on the quality. And then to share that message, it sounds like social media has been the main medium. Is that right?
Yes, because you got to let your members know. I try to be as transparent as I possibly can, because again, all these years of going to the gym before owning a gym, I thought I didn't understand things. And so as a gym owner now, like, we'll give you an example. We're a 24/7 gym. How many of you guys have been to the gym and said, why do I need to scan my card every time I come in? I come in every day. Why do I need to scan this card? You know, I'm a member. I learned as the owner of the gym, I don't know if everybody's an active member or not. My wife signed them up during the day, those type of things. But so I try to be as transparent as possible I can with my members. And what I tell them is I couldn't afford to pay a light bill, let alone my mortgage, if it wasn't for your guys' support. So the best way I can show you how much I appreciate you guys is give you guys more stuff, because obviously we're a gym, so we want to give you more equipment. To have more equipment, we got to have more space. So I want to give you a bigger space, bigger buildings. So that's been how transparent how I run the gym and let my members know this is why I can do what I do, because of their support. And they see that. So.
Yep. With the social media side of things, I think it's an interesting topic in our space. And fitness really lives and dies by social media these days, it seems. Yes. Like, is this organic? We're putting out content, we're putting out videos, we're putting out messages, or have we paired that with advertising dollars and a budget behind this?
Again, that's less money I could be put in the gym if I pay someone else to do it. So I love social media and I hate it. It's a double-edged sword. There's a lot of ugliness on social media, but there's a lot of great things you can do. This thing's the first thing we look at when we wake up, and the last thing we look at when we go to bed is our phone.
And everything in between.
Yes. And I told you earlier, I'm a Marine. I'm a big meathead gym goer. So I'm not the best as far as typing things up. So I just make a lot of videos from my phone. Hey, guys, this is what's going on. Hey, guys, we just ordered this. Hey, guys, we're doing this event. And I just use it as a way to communicate with all of our members. Because for the most part, everybody has social media. I use the two main platforms, Facebook and Instagram, because they talk to each other as well. But yeah, that saved me on marketing dollars. I don't do websites. To me, again, that's a money that you're spending for something that do I really need. I know some gyms use their websites for people to sign up. I don't like that personally. I want someone to come into my gym so I can make sure I go over all the rules with them, show them, you know, what the membership provides for them. So I don't want to do anything online that I haven't, you know, I can't do in person. So I just try to keep as much money in the business and in equipment and the building versus outside things that I can do myself or do for free, I guess you'd say.
Yeah. And so I think not an uncommon perspective. I think there's a pretty serious divide, and this is not an attack at your age at all, but I think that there's a pretty serious divide of people that were in fitness before social media existed and people that grew up in fitness when only social media existed. And you go into a lot of gyms these days and it's tripods and ring lights, and it's just a different world. I think for you, we use social media as a medium to communicate with people. Are there different ways that we could use it? Sure, but it's just not quite in our forefront right now. I want to move the conversation along a little bit, Corey, for a minute and pick your brain about the sales process.
If you don't mind,
go ahead, please.
I didn't want to touch up on the tripod things. We've had this conversation lately. Again, it's a double-edged sword. I love the fact that my members and they're taking videos and stuff because it does help promote our gym as well. I am afraid of what I'm seeing a little bit. You mentioned my age. I'm 42, so I've been in the gym before the social media craze. I am aware of what I'm seeing a little bit. The gym's starting to become almost a influencer area versus so much why we're there to train. And
we never had that word previous to 2015.
So I am keeping an eye on how my gym members are doing to make sure we're not getting crossing that line. Because as far as it become like this fad thing, I call it like red carpet feeling. But hey, I'm all for you videotaping yourself and promoting yourself and promoting the gym. I'm keeping an eye on it to where we're going with this. But there's a lot of tripods lately, like you said.
There's a few more than we would like, at least. Yes. Now, like I said, I wanna hear a little bit about how people actually sign up for your facility. I think there's a lot of nuance and subtlety in how gyms operate in this kind of a space. So hypothetically, somebody reaches out, they're interested in the gym. What happens for that person, and what are the checkpoints along the way for that person to actually sign up?
So if they reach out through social media, of course, they're going to ask pricing, membership packages. They always ask, do we have contracts, no contracts? So we kind of have a cut and paste of all the breakdown. But the good news is they're already at my social media page. And like I said, I use it a lot. So they can get a good general idea of what our gym has to offer. They can see the fact that we're already always advertising. I've got more equipment coming in. So they're already seeing what we have to offer that way. But we want them to come in to sign up because, again, I go overall, or my, I'd say I, my wife's the one that signs everybody up, but we want to make sure we have a certain expectation on gym. I tell people my rules in the gym are no different than the other gyms. I just enforce them. You got to wipe the equipment down when you're done. You got to put the weights back where they belong. The fives go where the fives go. The tens go where the tens go. But we want to make sure we cover all those rules when you sign up, just to say, hey, we told you this. So when I see you at the gym and you left your weights out, I go over, shake a hand. Hey, boss, hey, remember, told me, we told you you're going to have to put your weights up when you're done. And it actually has built this atmosphere that people appreciate that, hey, Corey actually enforces those rules. And the place is clean. It's organized. Weights are put back. Side note, it's the Marine in me. I'm OCD. So,
yeah, it's one thing to say it. It's another to do it. I think that's probably what people value the most.
Yes, and I learned that years ago. If you let it get out of hand, you can't rope it back in. It's very hard to do, of course. If you make that the standard up front, it just becomes a thing. But so that's why we want them to come in. We go over the rules. And plus, on top of that, they can actually see what they get for their money. I'll never say we're the biggest gym or the best gym, but I think if you come in and see what you're getting for your money with us, and you go down the road to the other gym, they might be $5 cheaper, but they're also 8,000 square foot less, or they don't have nearly the equipment that we have. So to them, it's worth paying $5 more to come to the temple versus somewhere else. So,
yep. Okay. And then, so we're directing them to the facility. We're learning about what this person is looking for and explaining face-to-face, this is how to be a member here.
Yep.
And then we can encourage that beyond that. Now for you, I mean, you've been doing this for 13 plus years. So the real battle in all of this is retention more than just getting people through the doors on the front end. What has been the driving force behind your ability to keep members as members?
Again, trying to give them more. Again, I'm not trying to brag or pat myself back, but just this month alone, we're already only 10 days into February. I've already spent almost $30,000 on new equipment on top of what we already have. So that's what drives me to keep them, is constantly giving them, evolving. Again, if I put a bunch of equipment in a room and didn't change over the past 13 years, they'd be bored. They'd want to go somewhere else. You know, you can only make up so many different workouts with the equipment that you have. So
it's a good point. Yeah. As you look forward with all of this, you mentioned that we've been growing year over year. Is the focus still on membership growth? Are we trying to grow some other service within the business? Is it something that we haven't even talked about yet? Where are your thoughts as time goes on here?
So it all also depends on the area. So I'll give you an example. Our town's about 27,000 people. So my last building was only about 4,700 square feet. We got to a point where we actually created a waiting list to get in our gym. And we did that because of space, comfortability, parking spaces. We're teeter-tottering on that number right now because we're right at 1,900 active paying members. I think my magic number in my head is 2,000 comfortability-wise.
Nice round number.
Yeah, it is a round number. And again, you know, even the 5 o'clock rush or the morning rush, even though we have 12,000 square feet, it can still get kind of packed in there. So,
yeah,
so I'm not so much worried as far as constantly bringing in more people, as long as we have a steady number. It's obviously been enough to pay all of our bills, allow us to add more equipment. Now, our next goal of building our next building, I want to shoot somewhere between 14 to 16,000 square feet. So that'll increase that number as well. We haven't quite hit that magic number where I said, again, I'm going to create a waiting list with this new location, but I did have one for a long time at my old location.
So. Yeah. It's a fun conversation because, I mean, there's any number of ways to make money in the industry. It's not always what it's about. Yeah, things cost money, right? You're talking about building a new location. It's going to be expensive, but there's a lot of ways to organize something like this. As you grow and you get to that 2,000 member mark, how can you continue to grow revenue or grow profitability without just jamming more people in?
That's a tough question, I guess, because again, we've constantly been evolving just this past year alone. When we bought this 12,000 square foot building, it was, like I said, it was a former Sears building. So there was about just shy of 4,000 square feet that we just didn't have the funds at the time to remodel into. But we're just literally finishing that up as we speak with the aerobics room and another area I call the bully pit. So right there alone, that's bringing in more people. That's just giving them more space. I want to build a bigger space. So again, that's more space. I think when I build this 14 to 16,000 square feet, it's going to encompass little more things that we can't fit in our gym now. Like, for example, people ask for saunas. I have no room for saunas in my gym. Big thing right now with gyms is called recovery rooms. I want to look at adding something like that. So that alone right there is just, I think, would bring more people in. Just the fact I'm giving them something new that they haven't seen before, or retain the ones that have been members that haven't seen that up to that point. So,
got it. Big picture, we build this new gym. It's everything that we ever wanted. We fill it out with members. Then what?
Well, maybe I can go to bed before 2 a.m, I guess. Maybe I can sit back and finally relax a little bit. But you know, my wife and I, we grind a lot and keep working our gym. I think I'll take a look around and then say, because I get people ask me all the time, why don't you open one in the next town over, you know, franchise out, basically. Maybe that would be a time that I can say, okay, I've built my building that I designed from the ground up. I'm happy here. Let's look at opening another location. The only downside of that, and the reason why I haven't gone that direction over the years, is because I really feel like with the temple, we built a brand. Besides just being a gym, I really feel like we built a brand that I'm worried if I put that in someone else's hand in another town, will it still have the same vibe, the same atmosphere, that same feeling that keeps our members at the gym that we're at now? So
I think it's a struggle that a lot of gyms get to as they grow. The internal battle of the business owner is, how do we get bigger? How do we do more? How do we get better? But that battles with the meathead gym guy that you said earlier, where I know what it's like going into a crowded gym, trying to get equipment and having to wait or meander your way around because everything is being used at the moment. It's a tough, tough struggle. And there's not one size fits all answer, yeah. I don't think.
And you really have to look at, again, like I said earlier, there's 9 ways it's going to cut. Look at the demographics, the area. I was an amateur competitive bodybuilder. My wife ended up getting her pro card in the WBFF. But because of our demographics of our area and the size of our town, I didn't want to be a bodybuilder only gym. That's why I actually called it Temple Fitness versus like Temple Gym. I wanted to show that, hey, we want to welcome everybody, all ages, shapes, sizes. So I really feel like the vibe and atmosphere we got, even though we might be a little crowded, people are okay with letting each other work in because everybody's gotten along really well. Because as you know, the gym's a great place to meet friends and become great lifelong friends. I got some great friends and brothers from the Marine Corps, but I just got just as many through the gym over the years as well. So I really try to build that atmosphere in the gym, being there pretty much every day, all day too. I'm working out next to my members and building friendships. So having that atmosphere has been very important. So even though it might be packed, everybody respecting each other, it seems like, in our gym at least. Don't wrong, we always have our 10%. I always say that. I call us the Temple family, but just like in every good family, you got those few family members that you just
No shortage of stories there. Now, one final question for you, and we'll start to wrap things up here, Corey. As things move on, what do you think could be some potential challenges either you as an individual business will face or fitness in general in this country? What do you think could pose as some hurdles to be overcome?
I mean, you're always going to have the challenge of other gyms coming in your area. Like right now, we have a Planet Fitness getting ready to open up down the road. We have never had a Planet Fitness in the area for years. You're going to have your people who want their $10 a month gyms, and I'm never going to knock another gym by any means. And we have other gyms that have also been growing just like we have. They started in a smaller building. They're expanding as well. But again, 27,000 people in this town with four, maybe five gyms, I guess you say, like ours. I still think there's plenty for all of us. So I think that'd be the biggest thing that might slow down our growth and our momentum, because that's been a huge key from day one, is we've constantly had growth and momentum to get us to where we are here today. So years ago, if this Planet Fitness would have came in town when I was in my smaller building, I might have been a little more worried as far as momentum wise, how it would affect me then. Where I'm at now, I don't think so much. But who knows? We could be on this podcast this time next year and say, yeah, I've lost some members, or we're not building that building anytime soon, that type of thing. So
that's a fair point. You know, we think we know our membership until something like that happens. That's a fantastic place for us to wrap our conversation up, Corey. But I want to share a minute to have you tell our listeners where people can learn more about Temple. Is there a website? What are the social media links? How can people find more about you guys?
So our official business name is Temple Fitness of NWF, which stands for Northwest Florida. We're in the Panhandle, Florida. We're in the lower Alabama area, as we talked about earlier. We have Facebook and Instagram. We're very busy on those pages. So you can find us on there on a daily basis. We also have 2 English Bulldogs that have been a part of our gym model for years and years. They're there every day, all day. It started with my first one, Mr. Muscles, who was with us for 8.5 years. And then after he passed, unfortunately, due to stomach cancer, we brought in Biggie Smalls, who they've all became local celebrities in our town. We have businesses that name foods after them, drinks after them. I just had an artist come in and paint a beautiful mural last week of all three Bulldogs in the back of our gym, the bully pit I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. So you'll see a lot of our English Bulldogs on there. They've been a great marketing tool, by the way, just to throw that out there for those.
Got to have an avatar.
Yeah, so if you want to see a lot, and just, you know, it's been a fun, it's been good, but you'll see a lot of that on our Facebook and Instagram page. So
that is tremendous. Corey, this has been awesome, man. I really appreciate your willingness to share here and talk about the ups and downs and the lessons learned along the way. We'll have to check in again down the road. Yeah. Like you said, we'll have to see how this whole local competition goes and how Temple handles it.
No, I appreciate
your time, man, and I wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate the opportunity, and I'm here to answer any questions anybody's got. Just feel free to reach out.
Absolutely. To everyone who tuned in, thank you as well. Don't forget, if you would like to be notified about future episodes, hit like and subscribe. If you're interested in joining us to talk about your business, click the link in the description, fill it out. Our team will be in touch soon. And as always, until next time, Jim Lords out.
Thank you for listening to the podcast so far. Don't go anywhere. We still have another episode coming right up, right after this word from one of our sponsors. The Jim Lords podcast is sponsored by Prestige Labs. Prestige Labs is the first and only nutritional supplements company built by gym owners for gym owners. Prestige Labs solves the problem that all gyms have experienced, the broken inventory model, low commissions, and even lower quality products. Prestige Labs provides 100% drop shipping, zero inventory, PhD formulated high quality supplements for you and your clients. The goal is simple: cover 100% of your rent while never sacrificing your integrity. To learn more, or to become an affiliate of Prestige Labs for free, apply at affiliate.prestigelabs.com. That's affiliate.prestigelabs.com. Double your client results, double your income. You can head to affiliate.prestigelabs.com to become an affiliate for free. Now stick around for the rest of this episode.
Use coupon code GYMLORDS on prestigelabs.com for 20% off all future supplement orders.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Jim Lords Podcast. I'm your host today, Adam, and today with me is Mr. Neil with Fitbank Health Group out of Bolton, UK. Neil, how are you today?
Good, buddy. Good. Good. Thanks, Matt.
Absolutely. Thank you for taking the time today. Appreciate it. I'll turn it over to you. Go ahead and kind of tell our listeners a little bit about you, your experiences, and what ultimately led you to opening up your facility.
Sure. My name's Neil. I'm Neil Smith. Fitbank originated around about, I'd say in my head, around about 17, 18 years old when I was a footballer. I played for different clubs, bowling in the UK. So Bolton Wanderers, had some trials at different places, played at Oldham Athletic. Didn't really have the passion to keep on going, and the mental health issues that I would say that I had or at the time that I didn't realise I had. But looking back, you can see that there was a obsessive compulsive disorder, anxieties, and being 6'4" and 16 stone at the time, it wasn't really the easiest to go to your manager and tell them you were struggling when you've just had a new football contract and you're on a decent amount of money. So my passion was fitness. Got into fitness at the age of 14 because I had a set of weights in my bedroom, dropped them on the floor, hit the lights, smashed the lights on the underneath, and my father came up, undid everything with a screwdriver and a spanner, sold them, spent the money sending me to a gym, which was what we class over here as a meters gym or a knitting gritty gym, which is just like a big kind of warehouse in an old factory. And that's where I cut my teeth, to be fair. I worked alongside some really good people, some Mr. Great Britons, a couple of people off a few famous shows called Gladiators over here. So I cut my teeth really well, and then decided that I would keep on playing football. But while I was playing football, I knew I wanted to do something different. It wasn't going to be a long-term thing. So fitness, but not just fitness, I suppose, looking overall at the overall health benefits and something different. So I did my PT qualifications, did my BSc at Salford in biomechanics, and decided that I was, that was the way I was going to go. The problem that happened over here was that, I don't know about over there, Adam, but every single person decided to, once the PT got diluted, the PT industry, that everybody could do a course and become the best PT and charge this, that. And it diluted the market. And to me, I realized that suddenly I'd not become a, I wasn't a personal trainer anymore, because Simon, who'd been in the gym three times, knew more than I knew. So after 10 years of doing the training, I decided to renew, go through all my biomechanics, the rehabilitation. I was lucky enough because I played in Canada, football in Canada, and I have one of my best friends lives out there. Put me onto a lot of the new rehabilitation side of things. So I got involved with Theragun. I was the first person to bring Theragun to the UK. So we got Theragun into the UK. And from then, we decided to go further with that. So into a lot of vibration training, into a lot of power plates. And it just completely take a different look at bodies, health, fitness from the ground up. So we call your feet your transportation. And we look at the way that you transport your body in whatever you want to do, whether it's football, whether it's sport, whether it's just walking, whether it's just general day-to-day, how you're sitting on a chair, we look from the ground up. And again, we were lucky enough to get another machine that we have over here. That's I don't know if you have them over there. You may have, but it's called a TRX mapping machine, and it basically maps your entire body. So I don't know if you've seen that before, but it maps your body by about 3,000 different points, activation, posture, symmetry, alignment. And it gives a really good reading and a good reference point before you've manually assessed somebody. I'd say we're a different facility. We do a lot with. I spent 7 years coming up with a therapy for Parkinson's because a friend of ours was shaking, tremoring, not being able to walk properly, and it really cut me. It cut me quite deep because it was a friend of mine, and I needed to figure out a way to sort it. So after working in London for about 4 or 5 weeks. And weirdly enough, the story is true that I was stood on a train and I could see everybody getting off the tube, should I say, in the tube, and everybody was holding on to the subway. And I thought, what happens if I don't hold on? So I thought, have I got the core strength and to be able to hold, to be able for this train to be as fast as it's going to stop? And that led me to realize that must feel like what it feels like when you get off that bit and you've not been holding on, when you've got Parkinson's, MS, etc. So from that, I decided to develop a therapy of how could I go about that and stop that? And we have done that. We spent 7 years in research and development, and we have come up with a therapy now that helps to alleviate tremors. So people can come in with their hands completely shaking and come literally within about an hour to 2 hours, we can have it where they're not doing that anymore. The difference is they have to keep up on it. It doesn't just go away. It's going to come back, but we work around the neurons, etc. And we do a lot with neurotherapy. So a lot of our basis now is now coming to MND because we're dealing with some patients and one quite well-known patient with MND. And again, the success that we've had with him, Adam, it's mind-blowing, to be fair. I mean, he's mind-blown by it. I'm mind-blown by what we've done. But I've always backed myself. So one thing I always do is I back myself. I think outside the box. I do that not because I want to, but because my mind just races 100 miles an hour. And I think the ADHD that I think I've got seems to play a part in that. But I don't use that as a label. I use that as something that's me. It doesn't define me, but I realize I'm a fast thinker, a fast talker, but if I say I'm doing something, I'm doing it. So I'm 100% in. So I think in a nutshell, that's us. Yeah, I'd say we're a specialist rehabilitation / fitness facility, but we're not for what you'd call the gym bunnies, if you know what I mean. We're the buff guys. We're more on the go on the side now of looking after your body and looking after your mind as well. So we believe, I'm a big believer that if you look after your mind, you look after your body, and vice versa. So it's and that's from all the way from nutrition down to anything, down to training, down to not misusing your body, but and moderation. Enjoy life. We're not telling anybody you can't do anything, but we're just trying to make you think of doing, how can you do it the best way for your body? That's what I would say we do.
Yeah, absolutely. Great, kind of description of, everything that's there. So kind of roughly walk me through, how big is your facility? How many square feet or meters? How many members do you have?
So we don't do members. We don't do membership. It's completely private. So it's one-on-one, one-on-two. It's very, very private. The reason for that was because we have people with Parkinson's, but also because we have people with MS and MND and stuff. And also because I want to be able to give my full attention to somebody. I didn't want to open it to a membership base where we had people just coming in, banging weights about, or just laughing and joking and enjoying themselves. I didn't want to stop that. So what I want to do was not offer it to a membership base. I want to open it where it's private. So they get that one-on-one time with me or one of my other trainers who's here. And then make sure that they get that the specific attention they need within that hour. Because that's what they're paying for. They're paying for my attention. They're not paying for me to be talking to somebody else. And although that if someone comes in, it's great. We have a laugh. but they're paying for my attention. And whether that's a PT session or whether that's a biomechanic session or whether that's a, we're going through a rehab or we're going through the MND, that my full attention needs to be on them. And that's, I find it's distracting if I've got other people running about and doing other things. I just want to give my sole focus to that individual. The facilities are around about, I think it's about 1,600 square feet. It's not a massive facility, but it's it encompasses everything we wanted. We had a different facility before that was bigger, and we found that we didn't make as good a use of the space or the rooms that we could have. This is absolutely, this has got everything we need, probably more than we need, but we very much go into the fact that we have everything so that if somebody wants something, there's no reason for us to say we can't do an alternative, or if they can't do a certain exercise, we have everything to make sure we can do something different that will work them in the same way and get the same benefits in 10 or 20 different ways for every single exercise, or whether it's from machine-based to free weights to using the TheraBands to using dynamic bands to using stretching, power plate, you name it, we want to be able to offer so that we basically, I don't want to be able to say no. I want to be able to say, yes, I can help, and this is how we're going to do it. And it might be different for every single person. But I call it a prescription. Each individual comes in, gets a health prescription, and that's theirs. That's individual to theirs. They don't have the same prescription as somebody else. It's all individual.
Excellent. Yeah. So basically everything is like, you know, is your facility set up where like you have like a front desk that schedules these appointments? Is it like you scheduling these appointments? Like, is it every half hour, every hour?
Yeah, we sort of. I mean, I do it. So there's myself. There's another girl that works here. I tend to find I do it. I tend to do it myself. I like a paper diary. I'm not a big online, massive fan of online, only because I get to. It's too easy just to get involved in it. And you know, yourself, Facebook and on Instagram. I have somebody who does that for me because, firstly, I would say I'm not clever enough to understand all the algorithms and the rest of it. And it's too easy to start spending hours and hours and hours wasting my time just scrolling through things. So I tend to try and we do hourly sessions. Sometimes they may run over a little bit. But yeah, we book people in on the hour and we usually fully book to the 9 till 9, usually most days a week.
Okay. And then how many members, I mean, I guess, you know, members or clients,
yep.
Do you serve? Is it like you have 100, you have 200, you have 50, 30, you know, kind of
about,
like
on a monthly basis, if we go into terms of sessions, I'd probably do around about 200 sessions a month. In terms of clients, that can be anywhere from 30 to 50 to 60 clients, depending on some come once every week, once every 2 weeks. I tend to explain to people that the way we do it is that we tend to do it quite simply. We do a 12 session block. And then that gives us the right amount of time to either do it once a weekly or twice weekly. But it gives us the right amount of time to then be able to look at it, go through what we need to go through with them. And at the end of that block, we sit down and discuss it because what we realize is that we're not for everyone and we're fine for that. We're not, some of them might come in and think it's going to be one thing and it's not. We try and explain at the very beginning what we're like and how we are. But it might not be for everybody, and that's perfectly fine. And what I like to do is direct them to where I think would be the best place for them, and not just say, okay, bye, walk them out the door. It's just because somebody comes here and it doesn't fit for exactly what they want doesn't mean the facility is not right or that they're not right. It just means that listen, it's that people have different tastes, and sometimes they might not like, they might want to be in a place where there's 10 or 20 people jumping up and down and doing more CrossFit, but that's not us. So we like to try and help people and say, listen, this is what we'll do. If it's only for 12 weeks, fine. If it's for longer, 9 times out of 10 it is. But if it's only for 12 weeks, then we'll give you everything we can in that 12 weeks to when you go to a new place to utilize that and take that with you. And that's just, I believe that's like basically the circle of fitness, I call it.
Yeah. And then, you know, you touched on, you know, MS, MND, Peter Park, like a lot of those. Is that the majority of your clientele or, you know, like kind of, you know, do you have like regular like PT sessions for like clients that just want to like get in shape and get fit, or are you mainly focused on like those ailments of, you know, of rehabilitation and things like that?
I think it's quite split. I mean, when we had when they first put out the therapy was there, we was quite nervous is the wrong word. We wanted to make sure that we wasn't claiming anything that we couldn't substantiate. So it took us a while to do the research and the development. And the problem is over here is that a lot of places or NHS, they want it all to be medical based. Hey, buddy. Sorry about that.
It's all right.
We decided to go into update mode for some reason.
Interesting. Well, we're back.
Yeah, we're back.
So let's just pick up. You said left off. The last thing I heard was medical based.
Yeah. So a lot of people over here are not just the general public, but NHS wise, if you want to go forward with their therapy or put a new therapy forward, they want a lot of medical based evidence, which is great, and I agree with it to a degree. But the problem is that we're very much what we call person focused. So if we get somebody in, we've already looked at the medical side of it. We have consultants who work with us. We have one's was the head of pharmaceuticals. Another one was one of the leading Europe's surgeons for ENT. So we look at this and we've dealt with it. But the problem is that if somebody comes in, they want us to be able to say that we have done it, researched it over, say, so many thousands of people, over so long a time, and we've looked at it. And unfortunately, that we just don't find that's the best way forward. We find person focus. So if we get somebody in who's got Parkinson's, rather than saying we can't do this with you, we'll try it. If it's something new that's never been done before, we'll try it. And if it works, great. If it doesn't, then again, we put that down to research and we develop and go from there. So when we put it out there about a Parkinson's therapy, we substantiate what we've done. We'd taken videos. We did it over like about 50 to 100 patients. And it worked each time on lower body, upper body, and on full body Parkinson's. But what we then did was when we put it out there, we got inundated with people kind of a bit too much. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people came. Some came with different ailments, which is how we got into MS. MND, I'll touch on in a minute. That's pretty new for us, MND. But it became a big passion of mine. So Parkinson's became a big passion. I also find that by looking at things, some people over here seem to get diagnosed with Parkinson's, and it isn't Parkinson's. Now, in the medical world, they don't like saying that because it's very difficult. But what happens is they want to say it is Parkinson's and put a label on it. When a lot of time it's not. A lot of time it can be muscular dystrophy. It can be muscular. That everything's far, far too tight. It can be just the tremor is not a Parkinson's tremor, but just a tremor from the body. So you've got obviously two different types of tremors, and it can just be. It doesn't mean this is from Parkinson's. It can be from age. It can be a lot of it's age related. Sometimes you find that I've had people who've had little tremors all their life, but that's not Parkinson's. But it gets diagnosed with Parkinson's, and then this label comes out, and they put them on the drugs, and off you go from there. And I find that it's not always the case, if you know what I mean. But again, I would say, to answer your question, we're probably a good mix. We're a good 60% to 40%. 60%, I'd say, of general fitness, health. I'd take back to, let's go 30% fitness, 30% rehabilitation in terms of injuries, prevention from injuries, but also fixing injuries and rehabilitation from, say, ankle issues or Achilles issues or hamstring tears, ACLs, medial ligament issues, medial tendons. And then the rest of it, I would say, is Parkinson's, MS, little bits with MS. The reason we're touching MS, really, is not because we've gone out there to search that, but MS seems to cross over with Parkinson's. You seem to find Parkinson's and symptoms of MS pretty much cross over with each other, and they tend to develop one. If someone's got Parkinson's, you tend to see as they go along the stage of it, symptoms from MS seem to show themselves in that. So that's where it comes from. And it's a massive passion of ours because we can help, and we don't just claim to help, we can help, which is the biggest thing. And it's getting us out there to help more people. We've helped people from USA, people come across from America, Scotland, Ireland, Italy. But again, it's just getting ourselves out there. We're not huge on publicity. We're not massive marketers. We let our work speak for itself. And then with the MND, which is a new one, but a real big passion. Again, it's becoming a big passion from one of our clients called Stephen Darby, who's he's quite well known in the UK now due to and he has motor neurons, and he's had it for 6 years now. So he's doing all right. But he came in. And to be honest, Adam, it was quite upsetting when he came in, I'll be honest with you, because I met Stephen when he played for Bolton Wanderers, and he played for Liverpool first, Bolton, Bradford. And when I first met him 5 years ago, maybe, at my old facility, Stephen was fully functioning, full movement, fully able to move his body, fully able to talk properly, could fully converse with. Came in with his wife, Steph, who's Steph Horton, who's the captain, was the captain of England for football, and she's the captain of Man City. So they both came in dressed in the, as you can imagine, just like as footballers. And then as I spoke to Steve about the other day, because I told him we were going to have this discussion, he rang on the phone about maybe 6 months ago, And I couldn't tell who it was. And I nearly put the phone down because I didn't know who it was or what they were saying. And I said, I'm sorry, really, I can't understand you. And then I just heard his name, say his name, and he was very, very hoarse with his talking. And I heard him say it was Stephen Darby. So I said, well, you're the only person. He was asking me, would I help him? But I couldn't tell what he was saying. So I felt very, very bad for that. I felt very upset by it, to be fair. I felt like I wasn't helping. So he did come to see me. And when he came to see me, he was a different person. I mean, Steve's unfortunately lost a lot of weight. He's got a lot of muscular dystrophy. He's got a lot of tendon issues. He's got a lot of tightness. However, there's nothing stopping him. He's not mourning about it. He's not complaining. He's just carrying on as he is. He's still driving. His talking's getting better. And since we've worked and we've put a new therapy in place, combined with the Parkinson's that we do, we've combined some of that therapy with it. But also, like I touched on before, going from all the way from bottom, all the way from the way his soles of his feet touch the floor, to the way his joints work, to the way he stands, to the way his tendons are moving, to the way his body's accepting oxygen, to going into the deeper sides of MND with how it affects him and how it affects his brain. And we've really, really dug down, researched and gone really into it. And the difference is to refer from when he came to see me last, which is 6 months ago, to now, he's a massive difference. I mean, his walking's better. He can do the, I don't know if you know the fit lights, but he can do fit lights. So the reaction training lights, he can do movements left to right that he couldn't do before. He can lift his arms up, he can use his hands. He couldn't walk properly before, he can walk properly now. He's much more fluid in his talking, he's speaking, he's more confident. And I think that's one of the things I'm passionate about is I'd love to look to be able to open a specialist research and development center for neurological diseases. That's my end goal, and what I would leave if I was saying a legacy behind, that's what I would say I would leave is something behind where I could do that, because I just think that's my passion. That's what I'm good at, Adam. That's what I like. And I enjoy fitness. I love training people. I love PTing. But in terms of being able to help somebody and see their eyes when like for exactly Stephen, when he looks and he looks up and he goes, it's working, and his eyes change and you get that smile from your eyes and that, it's worth $1 million I put in. So it's just been nice to be able to help more. And that's the thing is I'm not a marketer, so I don't put myself out there as that. But I think there's a lot more people I can help in different realms, and I'd love to.
Yeah, man. Got it. That's, you know, I used to work with, you know, special needs and, you know, other things like that, as far as, you know, like snowboarding, like winter sports, you know, stuff like that. So, seeing the smile and seeing like the success and watching the families like clap and cheer, it's a good feeling.
Yeah. It's great.
So, you know, walk me through how are you getting new leads into the door as far as like, you know, potential, you know, clients or prescriptions?
Generally, so we have a girl who came looking for us who's just amazing on social media. And she literally, she'll come in, she'll spend it. It's really nice. She's a client of ours as well. Her husband's a client. Her mother's a client. Her father has been a client. Her sister's a client because her sister had a neurological issue that we dealt with. So she champions us because she knows what the business can do firsthand, and it's done for all her family. Her dad's had a stroke and other issues. Her sister's had a neurological brain issue from being in a top position in the UK to having a massive issue that we, again, and we help that, working with a company in Canada as well. So we've sorted that. She's going through the problems at the moment. Karen's had other issues with her arms and shoulders that we've sorted out. Her husband's had issues with his back, his knees, we've sorted. So she's basically seen the whole version of how FitBank works, and she gets it, she likes it, and so she will put us out there. And if I'm being honest, I don't really get involved in that much. I do take some of the videos. She goes mad at me because I don't take enough, but I'm more interested in making sure they're doing what they're doing. She'll come in and spend a good day with us and go through stuff and say, right, where do you want to go forward? And she tends to use Facebook, Instagram. At one point, we did LinkedIn because we had a really good following on LinkedIn. We had about 25,000 following on LinkedIn. I think we've still got that. But that's much more if I'm going into it for if I really want to connect with more of the business side of it, and I really want to on a more corporate side. At the moment, it's a much more social level there. I think so. She's very good at getting that, and word of mouth is a massive thing. The amount of people who come, who, so yesterday I had a guy who came a few months ago to my house to do planning on my house for an extension. He's come to me because he's heard I'm the person to come and see he's trying to shut a tendon off his shoulder. And we do a lot with golfing injuries as well, and he's a golfer. So it tends to be that it's word of mouth. And I think a lot of it, Adam, is that we're a very different facility in that I am what you see. So there's nothing behind this facade. This is me. And if you meet me today, tomorrow, day after, I'm exactly the same. I'm the same with my wife, as my kids, as I am with the next person I meet on the street. I don't change. And I think that kind of goes well, because in here you can come in and you can be yourself. There's no holds barred. There's no having to pretend to be somebody you're not. You can just be who you are. If you've got struggles, and for example, like mental health struggles, I'm the first person to try and help if I can, because I've had my own issues. And I'm not afraid of talking about them at all, because I believe that the more we talk about it, the more we're going to help people. And the people wrongly see me, I suppose, and somebody will say 6'4", 18 stone, whatever you are, you've got a business, successful. That's not, I kind of struggle with that, because I do what I do for a job. I love my job. But just because I have my own business doesn't mean I don't struggle day to day. Doesn't mean I don't have my anxieties and things like that. And then the amount of people we meet these days who are telling us they're on such a drug for this, for that, it just seems that it's almost the next pandemic. The mental health just seems to be just stress on people's lives from COVID, from other things, from just daily life. So coming in here, everything's fun. I mean, you get to know, you'll know yourself by doing what you've done. You get to know each individual. You get to know what you can say, how far you can go, how far you not go, where to push the boundaries with them in terms of banter, in terms of fitness, and then you get to know that person individually. So then that's the prescription I talk about in terms of the whole ethos of it all. You can really be prescriptive, and you can, by the way, one person you can be really laughing, joking with, the next person really wants it or harder. And I think that's what it really works. And it's the same. People know what they're getting when they come here. They know what they're getting, the professionalism, but you're going to have fun, and you're going to come in with a smile. You're going to leave with a smile, but a very sweaty smile if you're training, or hopefully a smile because you've done something good.
Awesome, man. Love that. Well, with that being said, a couple points here to finish up is, what, for some, obviously your modalities, your style of training / rehab is much, much different than like a typical, gym where they have group classes and, personal training and stuff like that. What would be your words of advice or wisdom for somebody that's looking to open up their own facility, whether it's, rehab or whether it's, CrossFit or whatever, what words of advice would you give them?
I think the hardest thing for anyone, or the best thing that they could learn is to actually understand the business. I mean, because it is a business. You're selling yourself, and you're your product. So you've got to own your product. And if you can make a niche for yourself, great. But I think the best thing is don't reinvent the wheel. Everything's out there. There's set things you can do in terms of fitness, and you can just make it different. So don't make everything the same for every single person, and people are going to keep coming back. Be yourself, I'd say. Be yourself and be you, because you're selling yourself. I'm not selling Adam, and you're not selling me. So I don't need to be you, and you don't need to be me. And I think also if you're honest with people, whether that's sometimes hard to do, I think it's the best way of being. If you can be honest and you can have them hard conversations in a polite and decent way, not a rude way. Certain things have to be said at certain times, whether that's about the way someone's speaking or the way that they're thinking about things, or even just in terms of the diet and nutrition, you can be honest and say that's what you're telling me is bullshit. If you're telling me that you want to train, you want to train hard and get fit, yet you're going outside and smoking 40 fags a day, then it's bullshit. It's not real. And sometimes when you put it on people's toes like that, you find that you're getting the respect because they realize that they're paying for your advice and they're getting the best advice from you. I think that's where the difference between just going doing generic training and just they're doing the same thing that the next person does. I think if you're honest with yourself and you be yourself and you sell your own product, I think then you'll last the test of time.
Awesome. Love that, man. And then last but not least, how can people reach your facility, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, website, give a shout out to every which way that somebody can find your facility.
Yeah, sure. Like I said before, I'll struggle with this one because I'm not the best person, but I'll try. So basically, you've got www.fitbankhealthgroup.com. That's FITBANK healthgroup.com. We have obviously forms you can submit on there. We've got Instagram, which again is Fitbank Health Group. We've got Twitter, again, at Fitbank Health Group. And then we've got Facebook, which Facebook, again, is under Fitbank Health Group. Or you can even find me as Neil Smith on there. But, yeah, they're the best ways. And just send a message. And even if somebody wants to just come, people come and have a look or a consultation and just see. As I said to you before, Adam, I think it's all, competition's healthy. And I think the fact that there's so many different places out there that can help you, you're going to find one. And if we can't help you, I'm sure we can point in the right direction to somewhere else.
Awesome. I appreciate that. Well, for everybody out there listening, that's Neil's story. That's his facility and, you know, all the things that they do with patients and, you know, training and things like that. So if that's something that's of interest to you, go check him out. And for everybody else out there on the show, if you want to be in on the show and, you know, talk about your perspectives on the industry, feel free to click on the link below and type in your info and we'll be in touch. But until then, y'all, that's another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast. Gym Lords out.
Thank you so much for listening. If you found this content valuable, here's four ways we can help you grow your gym for free. One, grab a free copy of Alex Ramosi's best-selling book, Gym Launch Secrets, at alexsbook.com. Two, join our free Facebook group at alexsgroup.com. Three, if you're a gym owner, you can apply to be on the podcast by emailing us at podcast@gymlaunch.com. Four, leave us a 5-star review so we can gain access to more gym owners and bring those lessons back to you. And as always, tap that button and subscribe to this podcast for more.